Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thank you for listening today. I appreciate your listening, and I hope the message is a blessing to you, that it will edify you. And if you're not saved, I pray that the message will convict your heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I use the word saved, and it's gotten to be such a buzzword today that some people don't even know what we're talking about. You've heard the expression, "Are you saved?" Well, do you know what we're talking about? We're talking about being saved from wrath. We're talking about being saved from the wrath of God. I taught a few months back about the wrath of God at a time when natural disasters were occurring in our country, and on the radio come the preachers talking about God judging the world and pouring his wrath out on us and things like that. And that's not the wrath of God. They would have you believe it is. But God is not judging the world right now for sin and for trespasses. God is extending his mercy and grace to the world right now. But there is a day of judgment, and there is a wrath to come. And the question is, are you saved from wrath? Notice with me in Romans chapter 1, and Paul writes in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And certainly at the time Paul wrote that, he was still going to the Jew first. But he's now called to all men everywhere. He's the apostle of the Gentiles. But the truth that he preached is still the same, the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. Verse 17, "For therein," that is, in the gospel of Christ, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So in the gospel of Christ, God's righteousness is revealed. Now he says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." Those who are ungodly men and unrighteous men holding the truth in unrighteousness have the wrath of God abiding upon them. It shall be revealed from heaven. And it's upon them because they know the truth. God showed it to them, and they will not believe it. Think about that phrase, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. To hold the truth can mean either to possess it, as in I'm holding something, or to keep it down and suppress it, as I'm holding a secret, or hold back, or hold fast, like you're holding tight and you don't want to let go. These individuals somehow know the truth, but they don't want to let it out. They don't want to let it go. They don't want other men to know it. And they themselves are in possession of it. They know it, but will not believe it. I know they don't believe because they remain unrighteous, in unrighteousness. If they believed the gospel of Christ, the good news that Christ died for their sins, then the righteousness of God would be revealed. They would in fact have God's righteousness through faith of Jesus Christ. But in hearing and holding the truth and not believing it, they remain in their unrighteousness. And so, they're without excuse. What about you? Do you hold the truth in unrighteousness? Are you one perhaps that has heard some things about Jesus dying on a cross, and you're aware of the fact that he is believed to have been raised from the dead, but you don't believe it? You're in danger of the wrath of God if you know about Jesus Christ dying for you, but you don't believe it. So I want to make it to you as clear as I possibly can today, because you need to understand what awaits you. The wrath of God. No, I'm not trying to scare you with a hellfire and brimstone message. Although if I could scare you into trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd do it. But the truth of the matter is, only the Word of God can draw you into believing on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, no matter how badly or how well I present it. You see, in verse 20, as we continue in Romans chapter 1, Paul writes, "For the invisible things of Him, that is God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." You might be someone today with a foolish and darkened heart, a heart that doesn't like to think about God. You don't like to retain God in your knowledge, and it makes you uncomfortable when people talk about the Lord. You're uncomfortable right now hearing me talk about God. And the reason why is because to think about wrath to come is unnerving. Deep down inside, deep in your conscience, if you still have one, you don't like the idea of having to stand before a holy and a righteous God to give an account for why you ignored Him all your life and ignored the very words that I'm telling you that Christ died for your sins. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I want you to look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 6, we read, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you." In other words, to pay back trouble for those who are troubling these Thessalonians. And he continues in verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Then the wrath of God, which is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, is when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, who are going to take vengeance on you if you know not God, if you obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that vengeance involves flaming fire and everlasting destruction. Now, you can get mad at the hellfire and brimstone preacher for screaming at you, but I'm not screaming at you. I'm just reading you the verses. I'm reasoning with you and trying to get you to see that you can't change the truth of this, no matter how bad you want to. There is a day coming, a day of wrath. You live every day with the grace of God on you, being offered unto you. Every breath you take, every move you make, is with the freedom and the liberty to choose either to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or not. But one day might be the last day you have on this earth, whether it be because of death and you draw your last breath, or because this day comes and the Lord Jesus Christ comes to reveal His wrath in flaming fire, taking vengeance. And you could be one of those who will receive that everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. In fact, in chapter 2 there's an individual who's going to show up. He's called the Antichrist, and he's referred to as the son of perdition and that wicked. And he's going to be revealed as well. prior to the day the Lord returns. And he's sent for the purpose of deceiving you, should the Lord tarry, so that you will fall for his deception, since you will not obey the gospel of Christ. So it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, in reference to that time, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved." The one thing these who are perishing did was to receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Saved from wrath. Why would you want to go through the wrath of God? This individual is coming with all power and signs and lying wonders to deceive you, because you would not receive the gospel of your salvation. Verse 11 says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Don't think for a minute that were the Antichrist to show up in your time, you wouldn't fall for him. You will fall for it, because God is going to send you strong delusion, and you will believe a lie. And the reason why is because you believed not the truth that is being presented to you right now, that Christ died for your sins. That destruction, that damnation, will involve hell. And I know people don't like to hear about hell today, but it's real and it's hot, and Jesus Christ talked about it more than anybody else in your Bible. The perception is that Christ was this kind, loving, gentle man who went about petting lambs and healing people. Well, he certainly did heal those that came and believed on him, but he talked about hell. Look in Matthew 25. There's a reference to when he returns in Matthew 25, and it talks about when the Son of Man shall come to sit on the throne of his glory. He divides nations at that time and separates them on his left hand and on his right. In verse 41 it says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And there's several things that they did not do for the brethren of the Lord that causes them to be in that situation. But the point I want you to see is that they're going to depart into everlasting fire. But notice that he says it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you realize that you might be one of those that have the erroneous idea that the devil is red, scaly, with a bifurcated tail and a hay fork down in hell waiting to get you? He's not. The devil fears hell just as much as the next man who has any sense about him should do. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It is a place of everlasting fire and destruction for him. God never intended for you to go to hell, nor is he willing that any should perish. But he desires all men to be saved. The problem is, all men will not be saved. The only suitable place for an individual that would reject believing on Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is the place created for the devil and his angels to punish them forever. In fact, you might think you're a pretty good person, and no doubt in the eyes of a lot of people you may well be. But God would put you in the bottom of hell for rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, no matter how good you are. If you think about the fact that God offered up his only Son to take your place in sin and death on a cross, and you reject that free gift the only legal means by which God could save your never-dying soul, and you reject the gospel of Christ and hold the truth in unrighteousness, why, God would be right to put you in the bottom of hell, and you'd have nothing to say about it. You will choose to go to the place prepared for the devil and his angels. God doesn't want you there. It's your decision to go there if you reject so great a salvation. The idea of hell is so terrifying. There are preachers in the past who preached the truth about sinners in the hand of an angry God that had people crying out for salvation, holding onto the pulpit or the pews, fearing that they might drop off into hell. Today, men have no fear of God in their eyes, and they have no fear of hell. But Jesus Christ said this about hell in Mark chapter 9, in verse 47, "And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. For it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." That fire is everlasting, and there's a worm involved there that has something to do with corruption and decay, which is everlasting destruction. I shudder to think about it. But what's worse is I shudder to think about you rejecting the gospel because you don't believe this is real. That mention of the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched there comes out of the book of Isaiah. And since Jesus Christ is the Word of God, he's quoting himself. But look at Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66 refers to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ shall return and be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What it says in Isaiah 66 is this in verse 15, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many." And men don't believe that. They think of Jesus Christ as sort of this wimpy man that walked around with butterflies on his shoulder. Well, Jesus Christ was a man, all right, and he died for you. He became a man in order that he could die, but when he comes back, he's the glorified Lord from heaven, and he's not going to put up with the nonsense any longer. He renders his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. And by the way, that sword that he's pleading with is the Word of God, the very things you're hearing right now that you're going to give an account of for rejecting. He said, with fire and with a sword. But I referred to you this passage because of the last verse there in verse 24. It says, "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." Beloved, hell is very real. And there's fire, and there's worms, and there's an individual in Luke chapter 16 that dies and ends up in hell, and it says he's in torments and in flames. You do not want to be in the wrath of God, especially if you're going to be around when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to take that vengeance, because you'll not only be in the wrath that he pours out on this world, you'll also be in that wrath in everlasting destruction with fire that shall never be quenched. You know, smarter men than you have heard this and trembled at the very thought of it. A man that was a governor back in the times of Rome heard Paul preach about it. Look in Acts chapter 24. Paul stood before a Roman governor named Felix. And it says in Acts 24, verse 24, "After certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned," and that would be Paul reasoning to Felix and Drusilla, "of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Felix trembled at the idea of the judgment to come. That judgment involves the wrath that I've just told you about. A man who's a governor over a Roman province, as I said, probably smarter than either one of us, feared at the words of Paul. But you know what? The indication is he might be just like you, thinking, get away. When I have a convenient time, I'll hear you again. You don't know that you have another day. You don't know that you are going to draw another breath before the Lord should call you to account. The judgment to come made men tremble. In fact, Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Can you imagine standing before the Lord after you die and having the Lord ask you why you didn't believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior when you had the opportunity? I can just imagine you lying and saying, "Oh, but I do believe, Lord, I do believe." And God would just replay the words that you're saying right now or thinking right now, perhaps, as you hear this. "I don't believe that nonsense. I don't believe that idiot preacher. I don't believe in this one way only type nonsense." I hear people say things like that all the time. By their words, they're going to be condemned. Every idle word that men say, men shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. You better think about what you're saying against the truth you're hearing right now concerning Jesus Christ dying for you. Look in Romans chapter 2. Romans 2 verse 3 says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance," meaning to reconsider, to change your mind. Verse 5, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Don't think you're going to escape the wrath. It's coming whether you like it or not. And you live in a time when the goodness of God and his forbearance, which means he's tolerating your rejection of him, and his long suffering, which means he's being patient with you, waiting for you, calling unto you to believe on him. And if you will not do it, you don't think you're going to have to give an account of that when the Lord calls you to account? You've got another thought coming. You're liable to find yourself in the same position as those to whom Peter referred in 2 Peter chapter 3. He said in 2 Peter 3 verse 3, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." He's referring to a judgment in time past that nobody thought was going to happen. He says in verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." If you don't know what the word perdition means, it's destruction. There's a day of judgment when God is going to destroy those who will not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is that gospel? It's simple. It's the good news that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures and was buried and raised again the third day according to the scriptures, that you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now and be saved eternally, saved from wrath. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." He writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And in chapter 5 of the same letter, verse 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." You want to escape the wrath to come? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust him right now as your Lord and Savior. You now, having heard my voice, whether you've never heard this truth before, are now accountable for holding the truth in unrighteousness. If you will not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be in the wrath, and you will be in everlasting destruction with fire and judgment. But you could be saved if you'll call upon the Lord, ask God to save you, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, it's my prayer that you would quit fooling around and trust Jesus Christ right now as your Lord and Savior. I thank you for listening. You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 1580 KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. Grace Family Bible Church meets every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Bible study and 11 o'clock for fellowship services at the Silver Center, 510 Court Street, here in Seguin. We would love to have you come and join us. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.